Hello, and welcome to the Grayson Taylor Podcast, the podcast for young artists and entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Grayson Taylor. I'm a published novelist, professional actor, composer, and independent filmmaker. This podcast is all about the creative arts, writing, filmmaking, acting, Lego building, composing, and more, including reviews of the latest films and books. Now let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Grayson Taylor Podcast. I'm here with my sister, Ella Taylor.
Hi. I have been acting since I was 1 year old, and I am currently writing a book called Dark Waters with Grayson, and I also compose some music.
Yeah, so she's my guest for today, and we're going to be discussing the pros and cons of guerrilla filmmaking, a type of filmmaking that I have used in some of my films. It's not the best, which is why there are quite a few cons, but we're going to be telling you all about those so that you understand what guerrilla filmmaking is, why and when you should use it or not. So what is guerrilla filmmaking? Here's its definition. Guerrilla filmmaking refers to a form of independent filmmaking characterized by low budgets, skeleton crews, and simple props using whatever is available. Often scenes are shot quickly in real locations without any warning and without obtaining filming permits. It comes from the word guerrilla, as in guerrilla warfare. And here's the definition of guerrilla: a member of a small independent group taking part in irregular fighting, typically against larger regular forces. It also means referring to actions or activities performed in an impromptu way, often without authorization. So guerrilla filmmaking essentially is filmmaking in an impromptu way. It's filmmaking on the spot, pretty much. That usually means without a whole lot of a script. Sometimes we've just come up with a script the day before, and sometimes without a storyboard or a shot list.
Yeah, it's pretty much all improv.
Well, usually I come up with the script or the dialogue before we shoot it, but just a tiny bit before.
Yeah.
So, distilled down to its simplest form, guerrilla filmmaking basically means you're shooting on vacation. That's usually what it means for me. The main purpose for guerrilla filmmaking is to take advantage of locations, cool settings that you're often going to when you're on vacation. So a lot of the things that happen on set, quote-unquote, they sort of need to be fixed in post, meaning editing plays a large part in guerrilla filmmaking and sort of patching up things that need to be patched up because you're shooting so much on the fly that it's like you try to structure it. I have this this notebook where I'll write out the scenes or dialogue, the structure of what we're shooting in a specific location, just to get a feel of what we're doing so that it's not complete chaos.
Yeah, with Enigma Island, actually, we were planning on shooting in a specific location at these Mayan ruins in the Caribbean, and we were really excited because it was going to be the end of the movie, and we had it all ready, but then, you know, things don't always go as you want them to go. That ended up, we missed the...
The tour.
Yes, and so we did end up going to some smaller Mayan ruins, but we did have to redo it in a different place that we weren't thinking we were going to do. But also, it ended up totally changing at the end because we had finished editing, and then we realized it didn't fit, like the ending didn't work, so we just had to fix that with editing.
Yeah, I mean, the ending, it worked, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. But thankfully, we were able to do some stuff in post that definitely improved it. There are a lot of things that you don't expect in guerrilla filmmaking, so you have to be pretty flexible. Very flexible, in fact, if you're ever going to shoot much of anything.
So let's get into it.
All right, so starting with the pros. Number one is great locations.
Yes, there are some beautiful places that we have gone on vacation, and they're just great to have in your film.
Yeah, so for Dark Waters and Enigma Island, we were shooting in the Caribbean and on a cruise ship. That was really fun to shoot there, and also, I mean, you get some really beautiful shots of, you know, the water, the beaches, just the giant cruise ship as well. Some really great scenic settings for the film, which is part of what I like about guerrilla filmmaking. All right, so now for pro number two. You don't have to pay to go to locations.
So with Dark Waters, we thought we were never going to make a movie of it because, I mean, cruises are expensive. We didn't think we were ever going to go on one. But out of nowhere, our grandparents, like, asked us if we wanted to go on a cruise and that they would pay for it. And, like, they didn't even know that we were writing a book that was set on a cruise. So and we didn't think about making a movie of Dark Waters until we were, like, almost on the cruise, and we were like, wait, we should do this. But it was so last minute. It was definitely guerrilla filmmaking because we just wrote it down on a piece of paper, like the outline. We didn't have a script. We didn't have anything. We couldn't, like, print stuff out. So that was very much on the fly.
Yes, and one of the things about that is that there would really have been no other way to shoot it other than guerrilla filmmaking. Because, you know, unless you had a pretty big budget where you could pay for, 8 people to go on a cruise ship. I think it might have been 10 because we had several other family members there. So it was, we actually got to use all of them in our cast, which was nice. But otherwise we wouldn't have been able to make a movie of it unless we got a really big budget. Number 3, if your family is your cast, then they're with you, probably. I mean, when we go on vacations, it's almost always our whole family. So, I cast my family members in my films, for a couple reasons. A, because they're pretty much always around, so it's easy to have them in my films. And also, my whole family, they've all been actors, at least at some point in time. It's pretty easy to just cast them in my own films. So that's one of the benefits of guerrilla filmmaking. Your cast is with you, and they're probably easily accessible. So now, on to number 4. You might be able to get more cast members if you're somewhere where you have other family members that normally couldn't be in your films.
With Dark Waters and Enigma Island, our family who live in Texas was with us, and so otherwise we definitely wouldn't have been able to just, like, go to Texas, ask them, hey, could you come over and, like, shoot a few scenes, because that would be expensive, because flights are not cheap.
Also, in Dark Waters, there's a sort of large cast in the book, because, you know, it's on a cruise ship, there are a lot of people on a cruise ship, and so we had our family members fill in those parts, and so we had the largest cast we've ever had in a film thus far is about a cast of 10 people, and they were they all got parts, and some of them were pretty small, because don't feel obligated to use all of your family members in a film, but, you know, they can just have a cameo. Like, some of my family members just got one line, but they still got to be in the film.
Now on to the not-so-fun cons.
Yeah, so number 1 is it's hard to plan ahead.
Definitely. Like, you don't always know when you're going to be going on a vacation. Like, some parents, like, don't tell you until, like, the day you need to be packing. So, thankfully, our parents tell us, like, a couple weeks in advance. But for some reason, for Dark Waters, we didn't think about making a film of it until, like, right before.
Yeah, so we ended up writing the script, or writing just parts of the script, the beginning of the film, in Texas, shortly before we departed to go onto the cruise. So it was sort of crazy. We were scrambling to get together a story. I mean, we had planned ahead, sort of, because we were writing the book, so we knew roughly what was going to happen. But also another thing that's hard to plan ahead about is just things that can happen on your vacation. You don't know exactly where you're going to be going, what plans your family has, or what excursions you're going to be taking. I mean, it depends on the place, but sometimes it's, like, you really have no idea what's going to go on, and so it's hard to plan ahead.
Yeah, and also the weather, that can do anything. Like, the weather can be amazing one day and then, like, stormy another. So that's another thing that's hard with shooting, at least outside on a vacation.
Yes, also another extremely frustrating part of guerrilla filmmaking is continuity. Because often we'll be shooting for several days. Just recently we were shooting in Montreal for about 5 days. And, you know, we were wearing different clothes every day. So, but the characters, what we were shooting in the story only took place over about 2 or 3 days. And we were wearing, like, 5 outfits. So that doesn't really make sense. So you sort of have to find ways around that to explain that. Thankfully, in that film, we were sort of hiding and trying to escape the police. So we just, you know, it's like we were changing our clothes to disguise ourselves. But that can be annoying still.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to bring, like, all your costumes, because that's going to take up a bunch of room.
So con number 2 is you have almost no equipment. Because, you know, you can't bring your all your equipment if you do have some equipment with you on vacation. So pretty much all that I bring is a camera, the batteries, because I have rechargeable batteries for my camera, and the charger for the batteries, and an adapter to upload the files to Dropbox so that they're not taking up space on the memory card. But that's about it. It's basically just a camera. So part of what's bad about this is that your shots will probably be a lot more shaky than they usually would be, because you can't bring a tripod, usually, I mean, unless you have a lot of space. Tripods are pretty big, and obviously you can't bring a Steadicam. Also, those are extremely expensive, so I'd be shocked if you had one of those.
Yeah, and you can't, even if you could bring a tripod, like, what about moving shots? Like, in Enigma Island, we had to do a selfie shot. We were holding the camera, like, with our arms, just, like, trying to run while having a, like, doing a selfie. So, it didn't work very well, because, yeah, it was hard.
Yes, the selfie shot is a product of not having enough crew members, because often I'll be shooting myself when there's no one else around to hold the camera. So, I just have to hold the camera away from myself, not show my arm, and just press record. It's basically like taking a selfie, but in a movie. And sometimes it can work, and hopefully you can't really tell that the cameraman is the actor you're seeing on the screen.
Yeah, especially, like, in the dark, because it was in the dark for Enigma Island, so that was a little easier.
Yeah, so I have used the selfie shot more times than I would like. yeah. So another layer of this is that the sound quality is usually bad because often when you're on vacation, you might find yourself in busy locations. They might be really cool locations where you want to shoot, but they're often pretty busy with tourists and cars, you know, so lots of noise going on. And especially if you are not able to bring a boom pole, you know, a mic, if all you have is a camera, even if you do have mics and things, the sound can be quite terrible. Sometimes it's so loud that dialogue is almost inaudible. So what you should do is try to not write a lot of dialogue for guerrilla filmmaking. What I do is a combination of guerrilla filmmaking and regular filmmaking, where 2/3 of the film, maybe a bit less, is shot with guerrilla filmmaking on vacations in these cool settings. But that's usually more action and not dialogue, unless we're in a quiet place. Like in Suspect, we had a decent amount of dialogue in a hotel, but it was very quiet there. The room tone was almost inaudible, so that was nice. But usually, if you're shooting somewhere outside, it's pretty bad. So we've had to do voiceovers for much of Suspect, actually, to replace the practically unusable dialogue. I mean, you can hear it, but it's still very loud, because there was one time when we were shooting in the Hard Rock Hotel, just on this stairway. That scene actually got cut from the film festival cut, because it, even with the voiceovers, like, it just was sort of unnecessary anyway. Yeah, so sound quality can be pretty bad. So again, here's a great tip. Don't shoot much dialogue, if any, when you're doing guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah, so equipment is a big part of films, but you gotta work with, like, almost no equipment with guerrilla filmmaking.
Alright, so con number 3 is that your family may not want to shoot on vacation. Yeah, because, you know, if you are using your family as your cast or crew, well, your whole family is on vacation. Everyone there is probably trying to enjoy themselves, and, you know, they're probably not thinking about shooting a film. You might be, but that's probably not what's in everyone else's heads.
Yes, for Dark Waters, like, it's sad at a lot of parts. So, like, I was sometimes trying to just, like, enjoy my vacation, but then Grayson's like, come on, we should shoot this really depressing scene. I'm like, dang it.
Yeah, like, we just get back from doing something really fun, and then I'd be like, okay, now lie on your bed and cry.
Yeah. Act like you've just been murdered, or someone else has been murdered.
Yeah, so, especially if it's a dark, heavier film, that can be harder to shoot on vacation because, you know, that's the last thing anyone wants to feel. But that's why you just don't use method acting. Yeah, just try to enjoy yourself while at the same time, if you are in a film that's dark, look like you're fitting the mood. Getting your family to cooperate with whatever you want to do can be hard because you're probably not paying them. And, you know, you might be taking away some time from their vacation. So just treat them as nicely as possible and don't ask too much of them. Like, write as minimally as possible for characters when you're shooting in guerrilla filmmaking, both for sound quality and so that you're not asking too much of your family members. So con number four is that it can often feel rushed and you have limited time when you're shooting in the guerrilla style.
Definitely. Yes, like, for example, if your dad or whoever is trying to get you to a museum before it closes and you're like, no, whoa, we have to shoot like 5 more scenes before the end of the day. And they're like, what? Like, your family often has plans, but you have different plans with your film.
Yeah. So that can cause a bit of conflict, but again, be as nice as possible. As the filmmaker, it's your responsibility to make sure that everybody is, happy as they can be, and try not to disrupt the plans that your family might have on vacation as much as possible. So again, like I was saying before, write as little as possible, like little dialogue, very little action. Do mostly exteriors if you can. If that works, do exterior shots of buildings, locations, when you're shooting on vacation. So it's very rushed, and part of that is that you only get to do one take usually, maybe two, maybe three if you're lucky, but you're often moving around so much when you're on vacation or you're going to different places that you can only have time to do so much shooting, and so you have to make sacrifices sometimes. Sometimes that can mean stopping before you think you're really done with a scene, maybe settling for a take that wasn't quite what you wanted, but it will work, hopefully. And remember, although this is not often the best advice to just fix it in post, sometimes that's necessary when you're shooting on vacation. You just have to either do voiceovers in editing or, you know, fix things up with some extra shooting, because you have limited time when you're on vacation.
Another part of that is that you can't, like, if you get a bad shot and you didn't realize it, like your finger was on the camera or something, you can't go back and reshoot stuff usually. Because usually, if we're shooting on vacation, it's not normally like a vacation that you go on like every year or something, because it's usually like this once in a lifetime, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, so we gotta shoot a film there. So you can't exactly go back, usually, to reshoot that thing. So editing, you have to fix a lot of stuff in editing.
Yes. Also, part of that is that reshoots can be... They take some time, you know. Sometimes it's like an annual vacation or something. But if you go back the next year or two, shoot more of that same film, or reshoot some shots, you're going to be a year older if you're in the film. All of your cast members are going to be a year older. And if they're kids, that could be noticeable. For example, in Spy Squad, the film actually takes place, most of it takes place over a couple of days. But in between those couple of days, the cast member is aged a year. Because we go to upstate New York, Silver Bay, every year, usually. And so one year we shot like half of the film, and after doing some major rewrites and things, we went back the next year and shot the rest of it and finished it there. But I was a year older, Ella was a year older, but I think it ended up working. Part of what helped about that was that we were in the dark most of the time.
Also with Suspect, Grayson had to like do some voiceovers, but the thing was his voice had changed. So like if you listen to the beginning of the film, him talking, and then like the end of the film, you will hear a difference. So that's part of the problem with shooting something that's supposed to take place over like 2 days over like 2 years.
So, one last thing, in terms of feeling rushed on vacations, your batteries might run out when you're far away from the place where you're staying. Like, I have rechargeable batteries, and so I have 3 batteries for my camera. I take all of them wherever I go when I'm shooting. But sometimes they can run out. This hasn't actually happened to me before. Usually, unless you're shooting in a really cold place, which drains the battery so fast. We were shooting Suspect one time in an alleyway, and it was November, and we were nearing the end of the day. It was nighttime. It was already cold. It was like 20 degrees or something. And we were wrapping up shooting, or hoping to, and then a blizzard came in. It started snowing like crazy, and hailing too, I think. And so the battery just drained super fast. I put in another one. It drained in a second, and another one drained in a second again. But thankfully, like, it wouldn't have been really of any use anyway, because, you know, we weren't going to shoot in a blizzard.
Yeah, that's another thing with weather. It's unreliable.
Yes. Another note on batteries, always be sure to charge your batteries sufficiently before you go to shoot anything, or else you will regret your choice in not charging them. Yeah.
Yes, because if you're in the middle of a shot, you're like, yes, this is the greatest shot. We are so going to use this. And then, boom, battery is dead. Ugh, it's the worst.
So, moving on to number 5. Not all places allow video recording.
Oh, it's the worst. You get to a location, you're like, this is beautiful. I'm going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And then they tell you, no videos, sorry. And, or, either that, or you have to pay, like, money to shoot stuff, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I mean, usually you don't have to pay to shoot video, but I think there was one place that we went, I think it was Cozumel in the Caribbean, where we had to pay for me to bring a camera into the country. So it had this little sticker that was proof that we had paid for me to shoot there. I don't think it was very much, but, you know, and it was worth it, of course. But just always be aware of the possible restrictions or payment necessary to shoot in a specific location.
Yes, bring money, just in case.
Yeah. So now on to con number 6. This is, you don't have much of a crew, and it's hard to get a wide shot with everyone. Yeah, because you can't really bring much of a crew with you, and usually your crew is your family on vacations. And again, they're often occupied. And because you have a small crew, and especially if your whole family is in the cast, and say they're all in one scene, then it's almost impossible to get a wide shot with everyone in it, because all your crew and cast are used up in this one shot, and you have no one to actually shoot it.
Yes, this is a problem with just filmmaking in general with not much of a budget, because you don't have someone to be shooting everyone if you want a wide shot.
Yeah, so you just sometimes have to make do with 2 shots or, you know, just single shots of individuals. And then, you know, your audience will hopefully get it from piecing together the different shots to understand that, yes, everyone is together in one scene, even if you don't have a wide shot with everybody.
Another thing is, like, if you're with your family and you usually, like, you are really good with your camera, but no one else in your family is, it's, you can't really get a shot of you. That's part of the problem sometimes with just filmmaking without a budget, in general, because, like, you don't, if everyone else is, like, really shaky with the camera and doesn't know how to use it, then you're out of luck. Like, you can't get you in a shot without doing a selfie shot.
Yes. All right, so that concludes the cons and pros of guerrilla filmmaking. We're going to talk more about our experiences of guerrilla filmmaking in the behind-the-scenes podcasts of Dark Waters, Enigma Island, Spy Squad, and Suspect, how we shot in the Caribbean, Pittsburgh, upstate New York, Montreal, Boston, California, New York City, and Texas. So make sure to stay tuned for these future episodes that go into more detail about the actual experience of guerrilla filmmaking and other lessons we've learned. For more information about guerrilla filmmaking and how it works for your own projects.
So remember, guerrilla filmmaking is good for young filmmakers who don't have much of a budget, but there are a lot of cons.
So make sure to consider all the pros and cons before you try guerrilla filmmaking for yourself and shoot on vacation. So thanks to Ella Taylor for being my guest here today on the podcast and helping out with this episode. And you can learn more about her and her projects at ellataylor.info. That's her name, ellataylor.info, like information.
Thank you for having me, Grayson. I look forward to being on the podcast again.
Thanks, Ella. And that wraps up our episode. And if you haven't yet, make sure to follow or subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. And please consider leaving a review. That can be on the forum of my website or on the review section of this podcast. So to all you young entrepreneurs and artists out there, stay creative and have a great week.